Good morning. It's great to be in worship with you, and if you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. We're so glad you're here, and I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads provided for you. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Christmas Eve services 4, 7, and 11. Make sure to include your family and friends in one of these services, the celebration. It's a great time in the church, good, beautiful music, and a wonderful message. So come and be a part of the celebration. Let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another.
Thank you.
I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 199 for the Canticle of Mary, the responsive reading. Will you be standing? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, who has looked for favor on me, the Holy Servant.
From this day, all generations shall call me blessed. The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away.
To hymn 249, there's a song in the air.
This morning our scripture is John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Begotten. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, God's greatest example of love. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Loving Father, may we be ever mindful of the love of Christ gives to us through our eternal salvation. May we honor the gift of Christ to us this Advent season by truly loving others in the way which he led us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith together as you stand. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
All the children up here. Come on. Oh, what a great group. Look at these beautiful children. All in their Christmas. How are you today? Come sit with us. Sit right there, honey. You have to help me pretend today that I am a person who lived over 2,000 years ago. That's why I have so much gray hair. 2,000 years ago, that's pretty long ago, isn't it? When I was a teenager, an angel named Gabriel came and talked to me and said, I want you to be known as the Mother of God. And God chose you to be the mother of his son. I was so excited. I was thrilled. I was so happy. I ran to my cousin's house, Elizabeth, and I said, Elizabeth, I am going to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And she said, wow. Are you lucky? You will be known as the most blessed woman in the world. In fact, we had a song just a minute ago, a violin song that has my name in it. And on the altar, there's a statue to me. Do you know which one I am? Can you name me? What's my name?
Mary.
Mary, that's right. These are such smart kids. Very good.
We have two stands in our house.
Oh, you do? Good.
Of the Jesus.
Okay, very nice. That's a pretty one up there, isn't it? Well, you all guessed who I was, who I am. I was very young when I had Jesus. I was so excited and so thrilled that I began to sing a song, and a song of praise to God. And do you know what that song's called? The Magnificat. And it is the best song of Christmas there ever was. But I bet you have some favorite Christmas songs, don't you? Can you think of a favorite Christmas song? This is a popular song.
What is it?
Jingle Bells.
Say it loud.
Jingle Bells.
Jingle Jingle bells. I knew that was going to be. Anybody think of a sacred song that we sing in church?
Deck the halls.
The stars.
Deck the halls.
Oh, deck the halls. That's good. Any other Christmas song you can think of?
Silent Night.
Oh, very good. Silent Night. We'll be singing that at midnight on Christmas Eve, won't we?
Silver white bells.
Silver bells, that's right. That's a kind of a popular song, yes.
The Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, The Little Drummer Boy, one of our favorites. We sang that in the choir. Okay, we have some candy canes for you, but let's say a prayer first. Can you follow me? Fold your hands. Dear God, thank you for the music of Christmas. And let us sing praise to your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Very good. You all are wonderful. Here you go. Don't want a candy cane? Okay, here you go. Okay. Don't you?
As we go to God in prayer, I call your attention to our prayer concerns printed in the bulletin. Have some additions this morning. We want to keep in our hearts and our prayers Geneva Harwell in the death of her sister this week, and Michelle Ator in the death of her grandfather. And we also want to keep in our thoughts and our prayers the families of the two New York Police Department officers that were gunned down yesterday. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, our time of waiting is drawing rapidly to a close. And yet we're still frantically completing our lists and shopping and worrying if we'll get it all done. And in the midst of all this, we see the Advent wreath. This is a time when the Christian world takes a collective breath and offers up a prayer of hope and peace, joy, and love. And as the fourth candle burns, we're reminded that you are the source of love. And we're humbled, and we thank you for loving us. And what great comfort it is. This season of Advent and Christmas is a time for new beginnings, and renewed spirits, refreshed souls. Father, help it to be a time to heal wounds and to bridge gaps, to reach across divides that separate us from those we love. It's the time for us to stop and take a breath, to let go of what's keeping us apart and connect to what holds us together as family, as friends, as fellow pilgrims on the journey of life. It's time to let go of those things that keep us from a closer relationship with you. And we lift to you our prayer concerns. And we realize, dear God, for some this season, the season of carols and joy and bright colors and beautiful flowers, that for some it may be a difficult time. Some may find hard to find joy and peace. And we lift them to you that they may feel your love and your peace. And we lift to you the families of the New York policemen that were killed yesterday. Somehow may they, in their grief and loss, may they see the light and love of Christ. May all feel your strong arms of love and compassion wrapped around them. As the time of Christ's birth draws closer, dear God, we pray that this just might be the year that there is peace on earth, that there are glad tidings for all that are united with you. As we leave this place today, help us to see how we can bring your message to the people we meet in our schools, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods. Help us, oh God, to be messengers of your love for everyone. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray with confidence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. As we offer to God our gifts of tithes and offerings, there's an envelope in your bulletin. It's for our Christmas offering. If ever there was a time in our world that the world needed to hear the Christmas message, to hear a message of hope, to hear a message of love and compassion, it's now. And if we don't do it, who will? Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to share, for the opportunity to be your disciples, to bring the good news. We pray for those who stand in need of our gifts. May they be blessed by them and brought closer to you. May everything we do and everything we say bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
For our hymn of meditation, hymn 216, Lo, how a rose e'er blooming.
Thank you. This morning, it's my joy to share with you from the Gospel of Luke as we turn to the first chapter, finding verses 46 through 50. This is known as Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." The word of God for the people of God. This Advent season, we have been celebrating the sounds of Christmas. We began with remembering the beat of the drum, thinking of God's love pouring forth through us and the beat of his love. And then last week, I had prepared a message on the brush of angels' wings, and I thank Chase and David for sharing that with you all. And then today we look at the beloved carols of Christmas, certainly sounds that we hold so dear to us. For one of the great joys that we have during this holiest of seasons is listening and singing to beautiful choral music. And I want to, at this point, thank Stephen and the Chancel Choir and Angel, and today our guest violinist, thank you so much for leading us in truly a remarkable season of Advent splendor. As we think about how carols speak to us, we think about the blending of individual voices and of choirs and of instruments, lifting our spirits in this holiest of seasons. So I found myself, as I was preparing this message, asking, how did all of these Christmas carols originate? Where did it all begin? And the first thing I discovered that will not be of surprise to you is that Christmas carols have their origin with our Holy Scriptures. You can go throughout the Bible and you can note many times in which singing and praises were lifted to God, as we think almost immediately in the story of the Exodus. And there was Miriam, sister to Moses, who upon the deliverance of God's people from captivity, there she began to sing and dance with timbrel and song, that they were truly delivered by their Almighty God. And then, as you read a little further in 1 Samuel, the story of David conquering the Philistines, there it says the women of Israel sang and danced over this great victory. And then many psalms we know feature the importance of singing, as we find in Psalm 30, the fourth verse. "Sing praise to the Lord and give thanks to his holy name." And Psalm 98, which I gave at my father's funeral. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for blessed is his holy name. He has done wonderful things for you." And then in the New Testament, the second chapter of Luke, upon the birth of Jesus Christ, the angels sing praises, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all mankind. In Acts 16, this thread of singing continues as Paul and Silas have been imprisoned, and they are not wailing and complaining and griping and in great bitterness. No, what are they doing? They seize the opportunity to praise unto their God and to sing praises unto Christ Jesus, their Lord, knowing that in doing so, under such dire straits, that they would be giving a witness incomparable to any that they could give to those fellow prisoners. Out of captivity, out of the prison, Paul continues to write letters and encourage those young churches to sing, as we find there in Colossians 3:16. Paul encourages, sing psalms and hymns to God with thankful hearts, giving instruction and glory to God. And the thread continues to the end of time as Revelations prophesies and emphasizes the importance of praise and singing to God. Revelations 5:12. They were singing in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, but has received power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." So people of faith have been singing praises to God since the beginning of time and throughout the ages. But still the question is, so when did that evolve into singing Christmas carols? Again, a little bit of research shows quite a bit of history. The first thing that I wanted to know is, why was the Christmas song referred to as a carol? Interesting fact here. The word carol translates to manly or strong. That's an odd origin, isn't it, for songs which lend warmth and comfort and sentiment to us this time of year. But then further reflection really points quite well to the fact that these Christmas carols lend us great strength. They give us wonderful comfort in the hope of Jesus Christ, and in knowing that we are saved of our sin, we then have a peace that resides in our hearts. Strength, peace, yes. Most of us define Christmas carols as joyful songs of Christ, but Christmas carols actually started out thousands of years ago in Europe. For at the time of the winter solstice, December 22nd, pagan songs celebrating that time of year were performed and sung as the people participated singing and dancing in circles. The first century early Christians, however, took this celebration and changed it from a pagan tradition to one which celebrated Christmas. We believe one of the earliest Christmas carols was actually in 129 AD when the Roman bishop declared Angel's Hymn as a Christmas carol. So that tradition began to spread throughout the countries. But another interesting factor was most of them were written in Latin. And the common, uneducated people couldn't participate. They couldn't sing those songs. It was Francis of Assisi in Italy in 1223 who changed all of that in his nativity plays. And soon, country after country and neighboring lands then began to write and compose these Christmas carols in languages that could be understood and sung, to the point where in 1739, Charles Wesley, the brother of our own founder of the Methodist faith, John Wesley, wrote, "Hark the herald angels sing." Herald a good news of a great joy proclaimed by the angels. That's important to note because most people think it's a song about Harold the angel. But Charles Wesley was born in 1707, and as he wrote this Hark the Herald Angels Sing in 1739, I thought it was interesting that the hymn that we have now differs a little bit on that first line from what the original line said. The original line said, "Hark, how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings." And later on, newer carol services came to be, one of which we will celebrate on Christmas Eve, the service of lessons, carols, candles, and communion. Now, many of our Christmas carols find their themes in, again, scriptural lessons, such as Joy to the World is grounded in Psalm 98, 4 through 6. Hear these words. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with a harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King." And this is also the scriptural base for an older praise song in contemporary worship. "Shout to the Lord. Let the earth let us sing, power and majesty, praise to the King." Psalm 138 explains fairly well why we sing these carols in honor of the birth of Christ as we hear these words, "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me." We sing these Christmas carols. We sing these other songs of praise because we love God. And do we not want to live for God? We're thankful in our hearts. We're grateful in our lives. And we're thankful for the opportunity to do something with this gift called life. And to live it out in honor, in integrity, and in purpose. We're chosen by God to live our lives not in sadness, not in grief, although certainly there are those moments because we were created with human emotion. But we're really called to live our lives in joy. In joy. No one can trap their joy inside. Singing is the bubbling up of joy in your soul. Put a tape recorder in your shower. No one hears you, but you are singing in joy. There's a story of a kindergarten class that was putting their annual Christmas pageant together. They had rehearsed for hours. And the culmination of the program was a song called Christmas Love. And the children were each given a cardboard letter to hold. And they had practiced the timing just right toward the end of the song, when each child simultaneously would then hold up their letter to spell out Christmas love. Well, things were going so beautifully until finally it came to the point where Christmas was about to be spelled. The audience awaited. And when it came time to the letter M and it was lifted up, the audience could be heard to go, "Oh." The children had no idea that what they had spelled instead was literally the gospel of good news. For they were spelling out, with the M upside down to a W, "Christ was love." I think it's fair to say Christ's love for us and our love for Christ is the rhythm within every carol. The Bible tells us we are to exalt the name of God. In Christ, there is no higher exaltation. There is no name more worthy of praise. I love what Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 10th verse. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend and every head shall bow. Saddens me where Jesus or Christ has become a curse word for some when it is clearly intended to humble us and be lifted as high as it can go. On a personal note, I can't remember when I didn't sing Christmas carols. I'm pretty sure that there was music in our home, especially at Christmas time. I come from two musical parents. My mother played the piano, was even the high school choral director for the Girls Glee Club. Dad kind of dabbled in drums and sang in every men's chorus and chancel choir that he could his whole adult life. So I'm pretty sure that as soon as I learned how to speak, I was taught how to sing. As a child, singing away in the manger or Silent Night. My favorite secular Christmas songs were Up on the Housetop and Silver Bells. And now, my favorite Christmas carol, I encouraged you to sing this morning, There's a Song in the Air. Because I truly feel like that is the gospel of good news in that carol. There is a song in the air. And there was a song in the air that night, over 2,000 years ago, and the angels were singing, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That should be our message every day, my friends. We must tell and sing that message. Christ is given to you to save you of your sins. And look at others and offer that same Savior to them. Last Friday night, I sang to kind of soothe my soul. It's interesting that the message that I had prepared to give from the pulpit on Sunday, I guess I gave in the bed of an ambulance. And poor old Garrett, the EMT, just had to suffer through it. I was breathing pretty hard. I think I was in a little bit of shock following the wreck. But it's interesting in my mind, knowing that I was supposed to be preaching on Sunday, The Brush of Angels' Wings. In my mind, over and over, I was singing my variation of Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. I was singing in my mind and in my heart, Surely the Presence of the Lord is with me now. I will sing of His power and His grace. I feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory all around. Surely the presence of the Lord is here with me now. Carols, they are sources of not only comfort and sentiment and joy, but sources of great strength and hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you were to take the word carol and make it an acronym, it might be that gospel of good news that you could give to one another? C, Christ's. A, arrival. R, restores. O, R. L, life. That's something to sing about. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment today is the First Noel 245. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you'd like to come forward and profess the good news that Christ is to you in your life through your profession of faith, we invite you to do that or renew your profession, transfer your letter of membership, or simply to come forward to pray. We invite you to do so as we stand and sing 245, the First Noel. It is my hope and prayer that I see each of you and your friends, your neighbors, your extended family with you at one of the Christmas Eve services at 4, 7, or 11. It is also my prayer that you would go forward in the blessed peace of Christ and have the most holy of Christmases. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing and praise his holy name, for he has done wonderful things for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.